Welcome to the Self-Helpful Podcast. I'm Kevin Miller, and this is the podcast people tune into for in-depth discussions on the latest research from our foremost leaders in self-improvement, so you can be growing and more equipped to live at your fullest capacity in body, mind, and soul. I asked the self-helpful audience this question. If you could get insight and help into an area of your personal health and wellness, where would it be? What would you ask? Well, the responses were really candid and covered a wide range of health and wellness issues. So many that we're going to do two parts for this Q&A. This is my Functional Friday episode where we focus on our health and wellness so we have the physical and mental capacity to help ourselves and others. In this Q&A episode, we go deep regarding hormones and nutrition and screen time. We is myself and my Functional Friday co-host, Randy James, medical doctor and functional medicine expert. Much of what we discuss are examples Randy shares from firsthand experiences with thousands of patients who pay cash to have him get to the root problems of their issues. And on that note, while not everyone can get in to see him here in Colorado, I frequently hear about new patients working with him who heard him here on the Self-Helpful Podcast. You can connect with him at truelifemedicine.com or just email them directly at info@truelifemedicine.com. Thank you for tuning into the Self-Helpful Podcast. Be great if you would leave a review about what you experience here. Help others know what they can expect. And most of all, the best thing you can do is share what you hear with someone else. The more you talk about it, the more ingrained it is for you, and it helps elevate their education and wellness as well. You can always connect with me at my website or social media at kevinmiller.co. I'm grateful for all of you who do that. Next up, Dr. James and I address listener questions regarding their personal health and wellness journeys and needs.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, first question, Dr. James, comes from a lady I know. She's a part of the Ziegler Legacy Certification Program, but she has her own gym up in, I think, Delaware. Really great lady, Jessica. She says, I just listened to the episode on hormones. She says, as a middle-aged athlete going through menopause, the struggle is real. I don't want to take hormone replacement, so natural options at work would really benefit me. Following that, Nicole responded. She says, I like this topic as well. As a health coach, I have a little understanding. But for myself, I just turned 40, struggling with weight loss and belly fat. There's so much conflicting info regarding diet, way of eating, and if it does or does not affect hormones in women. How long do you test a way of eating without screwing your body up more than it already may be? So many variables. This has been going on for a long time, so the try it and see approach is frustrating and tries my patience. And the more I know about it, the better I'll be for my clients as well. So, and... two sentences. Yeah. I want you to solve that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, both.
That's our wives. They're both in the same age category. Sure. You're my wife. They're athletic. They're active. And yet.
We're older. Mm-hmm. And menopause. So, okay. Big breath. And I appreciate the one phrase that she said, so many variables. And so obviously, and I think both of these women are smart, intelligent, driven, and they know there's no simple answer.
Yeah.
And we've said many times that represents maybe even the most common final straw on the camel's back that says, we're going to go find a functional medicine doctor. Mm-hmm.
What of your patients, how many are middle-aged women dealing with hormones? I mean, it's got to be a high percentage.
Yeah. And I'm kind of ashamed. I don't even know my percentages of patients that are this kind or that kind, but I would say that's a high one.
Because wouldn't you say that's also for traditional medicine, you're walking in doctor's office. That is probably one of the least effective areas that they, I mean, it's just symptomatic. They can treat the symptom, but they don't get to root cause issues, do they?
Right. And in this area, so we have two little, even in those questions, there's two nuances. One woman is clearly menopausal, and there's that, and I want to address that. And the other one is pre. So, and right back in, back in the day when I was also a normal, regular doctor, just, you know, then, you know, people get to that age and you give them hormones. Mm-hmm. And if they have symptoms, you give them a synthetic hormone. And then and these women are also, and our wives too. So in 1999, 2000, the Women's Health Initiative, which I think still is the largest study ever done, maybe the most expensive study, over $1 billion that the government paid to do this huge study. They stopped it early and they said, oh my gosh, we're killing women with all these hormones. So that was 2001-ish. And so then all of these women who are the moms of these women got yanked off these hormones and fear, you know, it's going to cause cancer and heart disease and problems. And so for the next 5 to 10 years, women were taught just deal with it. And so then a lot of supplemental kind of companies. And so women have heard of Black Cohosh and DIM and I3C and these other supplements started to become more popular. And now here we are almost 20 years later. And even last week in the JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, yet another article has come out re-looking at the data that was collected back then. And it's comforting. So the bottom line is that, no, it didn't cause it. But in this case, it's also synthetic estrogens. So conjugated equine estrogens or Premarin. The progesterone was Provera. And so I would disagree with using even those as the synthetic form, that there's a better way.
Well, I was going to say, from a 10,000 foot view for the layman out there like me, you're wondering, what happened with hormones? Did God just make a mistake with this?
Okay. I'm getting too much into the weeds already. And this is why women find their way to a health coach or a doctor, is because it is so weedy and it's hard to figure out.
But I'm just attesting, just like everything. I mean, this shouldn't be happening. I mean,
let's go to the 10,000 foot view again. Menopause is normal.
Oh, well, okay.
So it should happen.
Right.
But in America, and this, I think you do have to take a 50,000 foot view and recognize that we really don't know what menopause meant in 1900 or 1850 or 1,000 years ago.
I just assumed it was to keep you from having 500 children.
You can assume that. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Everything we think is a
conjecture.
Let's just
go with that. I think that makes sense.
Right. Thinking of Methuselah or whoever.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done. God, thank you for
being done.
Stopping her from getting pregnant.
But the culture that we live in now, menopause is a bad word. At least it's a negative word. It doesn't mean good things.
It's just like, I'm getting old, getting fat, menopause. It's just kind of one of these normal degrading.
Degradation. Older, slower, less sexy, fatter.
Less libido.
Less orgasm, less of these things, which I would agree with you, ought not be. So menopause does not mean negative. And in fact, I tell the story often. When I was in Japan, it became clear, because a lot of American servicemen, you know, have Japanese, Korean wives or whatever else. And the word for menopause is actually related to an honorific for women. And so Japan does a better job of honoring their elder. And so it's kind of like saying, yes, ma'am. It sort of has that tone. And so women can, in that society, be proud. I have achieved menopause. I am wise, older, and all of that. In America, we worship youthfulness, an idolized youthfulness, and old is not good.
Well, from a woman's standpoint, I'm thinking it's probably pretty handy. I'm not having this monthly mess to deal with, right?
So there is, on that side, people also will say, gosh, I'm so grateful to be done. But again, far more than average. I would say in the 70th percentile, women will hit menopause and they're done, but it's not a good done. Like, I'm so proud of myself for crossing the finish line of running a marathon. It's exhaustion of crawling across this finish line. And now I don't have any recovery. And so I will say these words probably pretty often, but talking to women, and we're doing a feedback loop and trying to do it quickly and thinking, okay, you're perimenopausal or menopausal. How are we going to rate that? Yes, we can do labs, but what about hot flash, vaginal dryness, poor libido, brain, and energy? So I'll just kind of run through that litany of symptoms. And of course, subsets of symptoms that women will complain of. And so are two women there, and one is a health coach working with people that have this list of issues. And then she says, I don't want to take hormones. And I would say, well, okay. I mean, that can be a right pathway or not, right?
Oh, yeah. And Jessica, I know she's going to be the one who, you know, I mean, she's active. I mean, she's leading classes. She's fit. She's trim. She's eating well. She's sleeping well. She knows all this stuff. And right. yet things are still happening. Right. She doesn't want to do that. And she's asking you, what are those natural things? Do you turn to a supplement? I mean, you do that. Well, you use supplements, like affirmative action things towards that cause.
Sure. And there's... So, okay, you kind of summarized it. I'm going to summarize it again and say that the literature that's out there for women that are like, I am going to go through natural menopause. I am not going to touch anything. And it is nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress management. But, and to all women, I would say, but what has been your nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress management for the last 50 years?
Yeah, I was going to say, so if you still have a void, you're doing all that.
Right, you're still got a brokenness. There's still some symptoms. And then I would say, okay, now there's a long list of supplements that are potentially beneficial. From the black cohosh, I mentioned them, and DIM, which is diindol
methyl
something or other. And so...
are these things you're carrying, or are they in formulas?
Yeah, they're in formulas. So most of them are not going to be isolated things, and many of them are from Chinese medicine. So Dong Quai
but literally, what do you have out here? Something from Zymogen? Yeah. Or orthomolecular? What's it called?
One is called MedCaps Menopause or Meno. One is called PMS Soothe. One is called, one is from Metagenics. They came out first with Estrovera. Mm-hmm. And on the list goes, right? And so like she's saying, well, try this diet for 3 months, try that diet for 3 months.
And that's what Nicole said. Very frustrating. I think Nicole's also in the fitness industry maybe. And she's saying, yeah, that's hard. And that is. I mean, I do not want to do an elimination diet. Will you just give me a pill to fix whatever? But then that is the most.
Well, okay. So I think it's fair. I start off, but it depends. If somebody's going and they are clearly perimenopausal, menopausal, and they say, it's hot flashes. Just, yeah. I'm getting, 10 a night. I can't sleep. And I don't want to take a medicine. Then I would say I'd start with Estrovera. And that's from Metagenics, and I'm sure other companies are out there with some version of it.
Which on that Metagenics, folks, is one that I think you can get it out there publicly, as opposed to
Zymogen. You can't.
Zymogen, ortho, you're not supposed to be able to.
You can't. Yeah. Pure encapsulations, maybe. And what's the other one that we use? Claire, you can.
And this is something I'll let the cat out of the bag. We're about to have a website come out, and we'll be able to put show notes on and give you guys the links for this stuff. I know it's hard to take it audio sometimes and not have a link to click on.
You know, and one of the health food store brands I do like the most is Yarrow or Jarro, JARROW. Yeah. So if I'm going to go buy something at the local store because I need whatever, then that's what I'd look for.
So GNC health food store, something like that. But,
I wouldn't put GNC high on the list. I'd put Jarro high on the list, which probably won't be at GNC because they sell GNC stuff.
Oh.
I mean, that's what GNC is.
Okay. Well, scratch that one off. But her ask, how do you eat with so many variables? I mean, that one is. I don't.
Well, let me go. And I would say yes, but top of the list, almost always related, is sugar. Oh, is wow. Carbs. So for somebody hitting that frustrating area, I would say for
well,
sure.
Is there any ailment we're going to say, no, for you, sugar and carbs is okay.
Okay.
Even the athlete who can seemingly withstand it, it's not doing a body good.
Probably.
I love you. Gosh, you'll love this. Rich Roll, huge name in health and wellness. He's come out with a video. I didn't even watch it. I saw the headline on social media or something like that. And it's milk. It doesn't do a body good. And it's got celebrities and people on it. And they're like, everybody's, who knows that milk doesn't. It's killer. But yeah, sugar and carbs. Okay. That's not going to help anyone. But yeah,
for inflammation.
Right. And for the estrogen dominance, which the years of that is leading, I would argue, to this menopausal upsetness, where let's also say that a woman should go through menopause, and this is a good thing. And by definition, that perimenopausal year is 1 year when at the last menstrual cycle, and then a year goes by when you don't have another one. And I think you have to give yourself some room for what I call sort of sputtering, where it, you know, it hits and misses, and you might have a symptom here and there. It's kind of like a car running out of gas, where it sort of chugs a little bit. So give yourself some space for some awareness of change, but don't let yourself have this burden of hot flash, vaginal dryness, poor libido. My brain went away. My energy went away. My brain fog is there. Skin changes. Those are signs of pathology, of wrongness. And then I would say, yes, on the nutrition side, very upfront with a very aggressive trial down, a 90-day, very low-carb, high good fat kind of approach, depending upon other circumstances. And I think it's pretty by the way, and I'm also saying these kind of things, we talked about this in the past, assuming that your omega-3 levels are okay, your vitamin D levels are okay, your thyroid has already been looked at, your sort of basics are already kind of there. And then on top of that, I think it's very reasonable to try one of these many formulations of menopause supplements, although the data on that isn't huge. And so in the health coaching world or the naturopathic world, there's a lot of traditional Chinese med, and a lot of people say, oh my gosh, that really helps. And we use them too.
Yeah.
But when you subject it to randomized controlled data and those kind of things, there's not gigantic.
You have two
support.
Identical seemingly people, and one takes it and it changed their life, and the other falls on nothing.
So I think then I would do another 3-month trial of that on top of a really excellent diet, on top of your basic supplements.
Yeah.
And then finally, I would not be afraid of doing hormones. And we do hormones. Of course, that is natural. So bioidentical. I would never do Primin and Provera. I think that we can make a case that that would be wrong.
When we fast, we stop eating food and allow our body to repair. The research on the benefits and the reset is profound. The problem is we like food. We're addicted to food. Me too. Missing a meal or a day of eating is terrifying to a lot of people. So here is ProLawn. It's a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. ProLawn is not a diet. It's science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. ProLawn provides a 5-day program where you get snacks and soups and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state while taking away the difficulty and mindset of deprivation. I've fasted for 5 days with nothing but water, and my physical and mental state was incredible. My struggle was just wanting to fulfill my habit of eating. It was significant. ProLawn took that away. It's amazing. I feel like I'm cheating, but getting the benefits of fasting. So right now, ProLawn is offering What Drives You listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. So go to ProLawnLife.com/Kevin. That's ProLawnLife.com/Kevin for the special offer.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin. AirDoctorPro.com, promo code Kevin.
And okay, you're still speaking. I mean, they may know, but the average person who's listening there, you just talked about pharmaceutical as opposed to what?
A natural. Well, right. And so we do have to be careful here because the famous word is bioidentical hormone replacement.
Well, let's say therapy. Pharmaceutical that you wouldn't recommend, you just said is
Premarin. Is CEE or conjugated equine estrogens.
And you said another
pregnant
one.
Mare's urine is where they got Premarin. And Provera is medroxyprogesterone acetate, which some people got Depo when they were doing birth control. People don't do that so much anymore, but a shot every 3 months to not get pregnant.
So opposed to doing that, you were saying, and that's where you said bioidentical, but you said bioidentical, which not everybody knows what that means.
Right. And really it's a controversial term. So I wouldn't go to the doctor and insist I want bioidentical something or others, because that doesn't really, there's no such thing as creating something in a lab that's bioidentical to Kevin Miller. I mean, let's be realistic here, but
they're trying. Cloning's happening.
We can do a 3D printer too and get an extra one of you. So estradiol is going to be the estrogen component, or estriol, and on the progesterone side, it's progesterone. But whatever the sourcing of it is, isn't from Kevin Miller or Terry Miller or whoever. Yeah. It's from a lab, so it's still going to be pharmaceutical. You can't do that.
GMO.
And I would recommend that you work with a doc that kind of knows what they're doing, and because the laboratory testing is also controversial. Do we do serum, saliva, urine? There's multiple ways. And so you just kind of have to work with it. And at the end of the day, I'm still going to ask the person, how do you feel? How's it going? And it's so refreshing when somebody comes back and says, oh, my husband thanks you because this is better, or, oh, this is better. But to be quite honest with you, we put that on a, hey, listen, if something good happens in 3 months, that's really fast. But, and you know, if we're at 18 months and tweaking and trying and whatever, we're going to say, gosh, maybe this is just not the right pathway. So patience and all of that, I would encourage. And don't be afraid of using hormones. And one last resource there is the book Estrogen Matters by Blooming. That one is not written by a functional doc. So that's why I think it's so intriguing. And he, as an oncologist treating women with cancer, but using hormones. And it's just a great story when here's the doc and his wife started going through this. Yeah. And he's like, wait a minute, this is not fair to people to just yank them off of hormones forever. And so it helps you to, it's written for lay people, and it helps to really think through the hormone replacement therapy question. And I disagree with his take on the bioidentical side of things. But in general, the take on how and why hormones might be good, and the fact that you take them doesn't mean you're giving up and, you know, throwing in the towel and I guess I have to use a medicine. No. We don't know what menopause was 1,000 years ago. Did women carry higher levels of estrogen into their later years, even though they stopped cycling or something? We don't know. We don't have that data. So I'm very comfortable using hormones and have seen it help a lot of people.
Well, and on that, and I am so often talking about past episodes, and iTunes, for some reason, deleted all of our episode numbers. And so it's hard to do that. But we had... a show on when is it okay to take pharmaceuticals? When is it okay to take drugs? And there is a time and a place for that without going into that, that if there's a place where there's enough brokenness, then don't feel guilty and thank God that they exist. It's just that we use it as a Band-Aid, you know, for everyone. You know, on the nutrition side that Nicole mentioned, here's another one. Dennis says his question would definitely be around nutrition. I'd like to know what things I eat that, while healthy, aren't maybe the best for my body, my body chemistry, i.e. Like myself in nightshades. He's referring to, you know, me. Nightshades aren't all bad, but they bother Kevin Miller. He said, I suspect that there's something causing a mild inflammatory response. I'd have it tested, but I don't know of a naturopath or functional medicine doc I trust and don't have time to sort them out. Can you just franchise out True Life Medicine so the rest of the nation can enjoy your brand quality? You know, which on that, folks, I mean, I don't mention it a whole lot, but you go to truelifemedicine.com, and that is Dr. Randy James Medical Practice in Woodland Park, Colorado. That's up the mountain from Colorado Springs. You can, we don't say much about it, but you can come here and be a patient. Now, if you're out of state, you have to fly in for the first visit so that you have data service or something. What's it called?
A date of service that's in person, that's medical legal. So if the insurance company is going to cover me, then I have to have a face-to-face relationship with a patient.
Well,
that establishes.
You don't take insurance, but
no.
It's a malpractice issue of doctors out of state, which we thought with COVID was going to get loosened up.
It did get loose with COVID, but it was the next state over only. And it was very specific to that situation. And I get it. It's probably never going to change the next, 20 years, but every state is subtly different on their laws. And so,
well, there's lobbying going on for an overall license, probably expensive, but it covers everything. Anyways, until then, you can come here, to do that. But, back to him on nutrition. Healthy food. It's not a bad food. We're not talking sugar, gluten. It's a good food, but bothers.
Like nightshades, you just kind of joked around about, milk doesn't do a body good. And I'd say, well, what about from a grass-finished cow that I raise in my backyard?
It still seems stupid. We're the only animal that continues milk and eats milk from another animal. Well,
okay, true. But we're the only animal that does a whole lot of things.
Well, we're stupid.
And smart.
But in that sense, nutritionally, we would be... I usually have milk on the bad dairy.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've got a patient who is so sensitive to so many foods. She did go get her own cow, literally.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few things that, she's so fragile. But she can tell a difference from other natural cows. She feeds her cow.
Sure. It's just a question of should she have cow at all? So if she's going to, I'd rather
she also
had that.
Did that too. And her fragility. So there again, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That I don't think God messed up. I don't think humans are stupid for using cows in that way and goats in that way and that kind of thing. There's not a wrongness there any more so than why do we peel a banana and not eat the whole thing?
Well, but that could be the debate on meat. Is meat good, bad, whatever? Even if it is good, the amount that you need per day is,
probably less than the average going on.
Dramatically, yes. Yeah. So as me growing up and you have a big, bowl of milk with your sugary Captain Crunch in the morning, right. And then at lunch you get your milk.
You
and when I was a kid, somehow
milk,
I manufactured getting a couple cartons of milk at the at the school. Then you go home and you have dinner with a big glass of milk.
Yep.
Don't think it does a body good. It did my body fat, at least.
But again, that milk was highly processed, highly hormoned, highly problematic in and of it. We messed up the cow. We didn't necessarily mess up milk.
So we're saying that, and I don't know because we don't. Oh, so for the record, we don't drink milk at all. We don't do dairy outside of cheese, and I do that just because I like cheese. So it's a vice for us personally. Well, but for those who are out there doing it, I was going to ask though, at your average, grocery store, whatever that is around the country, Safeway, Kroger's, City Market, Walmart, whatever. Can you get a higher quality?
I don't know. But I would say go to your not average grocery store and get
Whole
grass.
Foods. Most people should be able to get
natural grocers, Whole Foods. Get grass finished dairy anything.
Which is Hard to find sometimes.
More expensive.
Triple the cost, probably.
Well, and for one season when my kids were younger, we did in Colorado, you can't sell raw milk, but you can buy a cow. And we did that for a while, and I figured out it was about $10 a gallon for me in terms of fuel and all that to get a gallon of milk. And
Even there, be minimal. So, I mean, it doesn't mean, I got good milk, so I'm going to drink a gallon a day. Don't do that.
And I think we might have said this in a previous episode, but I would be minimalistic. And I we can say that
pretty much everything but vegetables. Knock yourself out. Go pig out on
carrots. That's how milk got broken. So why milk doesn't do a body good in general is not necessarily just milk. It's as especially Americans, humans, over the past 50 years have been developing our own selves. We have more stress, less sleep, and all of this long list of frustrations, right? Our toxins that are coming in are higher. And at the same time, we are toxifying our foods, especially in the dairy where you've got the hormones and the pasteurization, homogenization, this whole process. So the cows are mistreated more and more. The food itself, the dairy, is mistreated more and more. And then it's getting imbibed by a human that is mistreated more and more and more. And so the end result when you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 is all of a sudden now the immune system. And so this goes back to, I forgot his name.
Dennis's
question about, hey, I might be doing $10 gallon milk. I might be doing nightshades or eggs or and the $7 a dozen eggs or whatever, but from chickens that are eating bugs that are walking around.
This is me right now as you look at my more than usual bloodshot eyes. Oh, well, no,
you're going to test for you too.
Okay, tell me that. But on eggs, we get great eggs, and when possible, we get eggs from neighbors in the area that are they still got feathers and poop on the thing. So this is a good egg. You can get duck eggs, whatever. I don't eat eggs because we took a allergy test and it was way high on the list. So my wife, because we had a bunch for some reason, she made egg salad, something other. I just went ahead and imbibed last night. And
you got the blessing of pain.
I got the blessing of pain three times up on the potty and a lot of good reading time in the middle of the night and like 4 hours of sleep. It was horrific. Now, whether eggs are bad or not, I had good eggs, but they do not work for Kevin Miller. So yeah, to you, Dennis, I mean, that's...
So experience and awareness, and that's the elimination diet. And that's a really tough thing to do, but that's number one. Well, so the gold standard is... Get the food out.
Just hit real quick so people are hearing that elimination diet, because you mentioned talking about menopause so often, dietary 90 days. So that is a common thing. You want to figure out what's messing you up. Take 90 days and only eat or don't eat, whichever way. How do you go?
Well, right. I'd like to talk about the positive. Like, we are going to eat a whole lot of vegetables. We're going to eat a whole lot of avocados and coconuts and oils and things like this.
You can do meat, right?
Yeah, meat, fish, and... But let's go on the negative. So the ones that you're going to avoid, and gluten's number one.
Yeah.
Dairy's number two. Corn is number three. Uh-huh. Soy is number four. Let me just stop right there. So we call that the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The apocalypse in your immune system. The war that's going on. So like I just said, we've messed up the soil. We've messed up the animal.
Yeah.
We've messed up the production system. And we've messed up the humans.
Yep.
And now you're going to go put in a highly processed piece of gluten that's encapsulated in a Dorito that also has a little dairy in it and a little...
I was going to say, so I want everybody to hear, what he just took out is any processed food. The ability to get a processed food, even at Whole Foods, Natural Grocer, whatever, that's a healthy processed food without... Corn, gluten, soy, dairy, is almost impossible. I mean,
right, because processing, putting, paying somebody else to put all the, your quick snack bar thing together, that is processing.
Well, and corn and soy, that is the glue of all processed food. It's going to be one
the thing together.
If I want tortillas, if you want a burrito at home, and get a gluten-free one, it is primarily corn. Now we have found some of their rice, and they don't roll well, and they crack.
Quickly coming up on this list, precisely because, and I would say to people, look, that doesn't mean that a gluten-free pasta is healthy. You just unhealthied rice.
Well, I don't eat it. Most of the gluten-free pastas, flours, whatever, are corn, which is another high.
Yeah, they're a combo of rice, corn, and pea. Now, soy and pea are you know, they're legumes.
Yeah.
And that's where I think people do need to hear that when you're doing that, if you're in your mindset, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to eliminate these things. Then it really does. You put on the mindset, I'm going to choose to enjoy food as close to the ground as possible. Yeah. And so all of the grains become pilafs. Rice is actually rice. And I had one patient say, incredulously, you mean to tell me that if I'm hungry and I want to walk into my kitchen and actually eat something, I got to make rice?
Yeah.
And I kind of went back and said, you mean to tell me that you are going to bypass that and pay Kroger's to do all that work for you for a dollar snack that is, in order to get it to you that cheaply, they've messed up the food to such a degree it's hurting you?
15 ingredients your mother can't pronounce. And yeah. I don't know how many times we've said it, folks. If this is interesting to you, Food Rules is a 30-minute read, an hour read, I don't know, by Michael Pollan that talks about that. He says if it's not food, if it's...
If you can't pronounce it or don't know what the ingredients are.
Your kid or your grandmother can't...
That's not close to the ground.
And that is. You take one ingredient like rice, you get it pre-made at the store or pre-cooked or whatever, and it's got all this junk added to it. But back to your thing. So the elimination diet is 90 days is what you prescribe. So we did that. I told the story before when I had a baby all splotchy. You put my wife, and we all did it with her, on a 90-day elimination diet. So we, you know, ate all those whole foods and got rid of the problematic ones. And then I don't know what she tried adding in first, but then as soon as she did dairy, boom, it was an immediate reaction to our baby. And she realized that's the point of the elimination diet. You take away all the culprits for 90 days.
And the reason so 90 is a long time. And the reason I put in long time,
which is why most people won't ever do this,
is to give your body a chance for healing. Many cells of the body live on a 90-day cycle. So blood cells, sperm cells, egg cells have this 90-day cycle, not egg cells, that if you then change the way you think for 90 days, if you change the way you eat, change the amount of water you drink, then many cells of your body have now done a complete turnover. Over 90. Now, the GI, if your symptoms are only GI, you might benefit from a shorter elimination. And that's where it gets confusing because you see these 10-day detox and 30-day detox and whatever. Uh-huh. Okay, there's a reason for any of those kind of things. But if you're serious and you're looking at a major change and then you want to go into reintroduction, and so for the next 90 days, you slowly reintroduce foods.
Well, but ultimately on the timeline, doesn't 90 days pretty much just say that's going to cover anybody wherever you are, even though on a given thing, if you and I both did it after 10 days, man, you're detoxed, but I was more wrecked. It took me 20 days or 30 days or whatever you're saying.
Me on gluten. And you might not remember my story of gluten because I disbelieved the lab. The lab told me I was sensitive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, come on. But then in my, you know, younger 40s and the creaky, sore, stiff, you know, the grunt when you bend over was happening. And so because one of my kids also was needing to be very severely, strictly gluten-free, I'm like, all right, let's do it. 30 days, no change. 60 days, no change. And son of a gun, in that third month, around 80-some-odd days.
I remember you telling me.
It's clearly different. And then I broke that, and just like with Terry, and we went on a trip, so we were traveling, and I'm like, all right, it's been 90 days, I know I feel better, so there it is, but I'm going to have some gluten. And we imbibed on whatever that was, and my story was I was in a hotel room, and that night I woke up at 3 a.m. in pain, with pain down my back, and I had to pace the hotel room. So,
but pull that out because that's the frustrating thing because people want to think, okay, if I go off and I let my body recover and whatever, then I can imbibe and I'll be okay.
Well, that's like you were saying, I want to be able to go back and I should be less sensitive to it. And it's like, well, no, you're not doing that so that you get to go back to McDonald's.
Right. But now, in all truth, I have found, as there are foods that I do not imbibe in at all, I mean, just habitually, you know, I don't eat these things. There are some that if I do, like I did with the eggs yesterday, it wrecks me. There are others that now if I do, I seem to withstand it better.
And I would also argue that the likelihood of you being able to go back to eggs is high, 50-50.
Of being able to?
Yeah. Huh. I would argue that. Now, this is conjecture. We don't have data. We don't have randomized control trials on that kind of thing because there never will be. There's so many variables. Like one of the ladies said, you can't do randomized control trials on this. But in your mindset, if you said, man, I would really like to get back to eggs, then I would say we've missed something. That's the other test I want to share with you. We've missed something to figure out what's going on in the immune system.
On why I can't deal with eggs you and you can't.
Yeah. Right. Now, at the same time, there are food allergies, frank genetic food allergies. But that tends to be pretty low. Now, it's increasing. Certainly, we are increasing our sensitivity.
And we should pull that out because we use that term. Oh, I'm allergic to that food. I'm whatever. So often when you would say, no, yeah, you're not factually allergic, but you have an intolerance, a sensitivity.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a toughie.
Because we use that in our household. Oh, no, so-and-so's allergic to that. And I'm going, not really, but whatever.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
You all know I greatly value and pursue my health and wellness, and I'm always looking for better products and resources. Nutritional supplements are a staple for me, and a must is a probiotic to support my gut health and function. A probiotic is something I've taken each and every day for the long-term cumulative benefits. Seed is a company that makes a symbiotic, which is actually a unique mix of probiotics and prebiotics. Probiotics are beneficial bacteria, and prebiotics are food for these bacteria. So Seed's symbiotic containing both helps balance my gut bacteria. So together, the Seed DS01 symbiotic benefits my gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. Taking Seed's DS01 symbiotic and avoiding the foods I know my body is sensitive to has taken me from constant digestive problems to almost none. I trust Seed's clinical trials and breakthrough research that's been published in top scientific journals. You can entrust your gut with Seed's DS01 daily symbiotic. Go to seed.com/drive and use code 25DRIVE to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 daily symbiotic at seed.com/drive, code 25DRIVE.
I'm a foodie, and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico, and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon, really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935. And I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste. And right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of 7 requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Right. Either way, they shouldn't have it.
Right. Like now, even in the medical jargon, they'll say non-celiac gluten sensitivity. That's now a diagnosis.
Okay.
And
so you're not allergic, but... It's not doing a body good.
It's not doing your body. It's triggering the immune situation. Now, I want to say, so the four horsemen, I want to give four more.
Yeah.
And then I want to go back and answer his questions about, what about the labs? So dairy, or gluten number one, dairy, corn, soy. And then the next one, so number five is eggs. And everybody is like, ugh. And it's not that eggs are bad for you because of fat or something like that. It's just the tendency to sensitivity.
Which is, again, you can't get processed food very much without eggs. And, right. And real quick, just on corn and soy, I don't know about soy, but when you look at corn, folks, so I have a specific problem with corn. And the derivatives.
Right.
So it's one thing if it says corn, cornmeal, corn syrup, corn whatever. But then you get when it says maltodextrin, generally corn. When it says
dextrose.
It's with an X. Xanthan gum.
Xanthan gum.
Generally corn. And those maltodextrin and xanthan gum, those corn derivatives bother me more than just flat out corn, which I don't eat anyway. So it's just
so mind-boggling.
It's frustrating if you're trying to eat processed food. If you're going and having, you know, broccoli is broccoli. Right. You can have it and not worry about it having a corn derivative, at least at this point.
I have never put somebody on a broccoli-free diet.
So somebody's wishing, but
darn, why didn't he take away broccoli? So eggs and nightshades is number six. So, and that's peppers. What's the number one? Tomatoes,
potatoes,
eggplant, that's peppers.
You said it. So peppers, potatoes, eggplant,
tomatoes. So tomatoes and potatoes are the biggies, right? Like that's a daily fare for people. Ketchup, salsa,
yes.
Spaghetti sauce.
So I do not eat potatoes. And my vice, I adore French fries with a gallon of ketchup. So I've got potatoes and tomatoes in there. So when I imbibe now, I get sweet potato fries, which I do okay. And then a low sugar tomato, but I still tomato sauce or ketchup, but I still do way too much.
Yeah, and I actually switched, and I will do I don't think anybody gets bothered by potatoes in our house, so we'll do – if we do fries, you know, on a grill-out night, you can get the no-sugar ketchup.
Yeah, we do that.
But most of mine is – it's mostly mustard. So I'll do mustard on my potatoes.
That's too healthy.
And okay.
So okay. Anyway, then, so those are big ones. And folks, those wrecked me. I was having back problems. Literally, my back would go out. That we finally got to, you know, for some reason, the inflammation, the nightshades give me tweaks my back, probably because of an old injury. It's probably unique to me, but man, I've been going to chiropractors forever. And that was a primary culprit for my back going out, totally out. Like the one, if anybody's ever experienced it, where you can't breathe, you can't move. I mean, it was horrific. I do not eat nightshades for the most part. I mean, here and there, a little bite. And I've had the most solid back health almost since a teenage.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoulder issues and stuff too. So anyway, so nightshades, which, man, those are low on the totem pole of people thinking about as problematic foods. I think. I don't see it.
Oh, very, very, very much so. And then the last two is going to kill people, is coffee and alcohol. So I had a back pain guy, 30 years back pain, and for some other reason, we stopped coffee, and the night and day difference was just remarkable. And this guy had been, you know, beyond chiro and had done some surgeries and stuff like that. So,
and why is that? Just an
inflammatory response. That's right. So every single thing that goes into your mouth is going to trigger, you know, every breath triggers an inflammatory response. Your body has to deal with the environment that we're all in. And so when you think about it that way, and now you're looking at that cookie, you're like, okay, this is going to trigger a response. Should I trigger that response or should I not?
I mean, the elimination diet basically says everything you think of as a comfort food, don't do that for 90 days, which most people would just rather not live.
You're right. So let's say that in a much more gentle way, because in all truthfulness, I think I told you, and we might have even said it here, I was so grateful the other day to say that Brussels sprouts have become a comfort food, right? But that took decades. Nobody's born that way, but nobody's born being able to do 15 pull-ups. Nobody's born being able to do fractions. Nobody's born being able to do anything.
That's true.
Worked for it.
We were just out in the deck, this weekend, and I did tuna and steelhead trout. My oats and my fish mixed up. Steelhead trout on the grill with calabacitas, the which is a squash.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, squash. Uh-huh. We did that, sliced that and put some.
And I bet you sat there and were so grateful.
Oh, my gosh. And I think we did a little bit of, might have done some wild rice or something like that. And everybody absolutely adored it. Now, I mean, is that the same as pizza night? I mean, but I'm so grateful that that is an indulgent meal now, that my family loves that.
That's a great word. That feels indulgent for me to sit down with, and in medical school, when I was first learning all this, me and my roommates, we would trade dinner nights, and I would make cauliflower and lentils.
Oh, they hated you. Oh my gosh, it's Randy's dinner night. I'm staying at the library late.
Yeah. But I you use the word adore. I adore cauliflower and lentils, but you had to work for that. It just, you know, and it's such a mindset. When somebody flips the mindset and you don't feel like you're subjected to it, it's kind of like the difference when you make, like, when you make a dish. Like, if I make it and I get it overspiced or whatever, I'm like, it's not that bad. And everybody else is going, ugh, this is overspiced.
Well, you saying that, though, I wanted to point that out, because that is most people's, you know, mom makes XYZ when you're growing up, and then she's going to, you know, mom gets healthy, she's going healthy, and she makes broccoli and whatever, and it's the most bland, tasteless stuff. No wonder nobody likes it. I mean, that is a problem in America, especially for people who don't often cook, that when they go to cook the healthy food, it doesn't taste good because you don't know how to cook that well.
Well, so, and it literally can't compare to the spices on Doritos. It can't. You do have to change.
It can't. There are some things, man. I mean, when we grill, like you said, Brussels sprouts, the stuff that I do mine with and the seasoning that I put on my salmon. I mean, I habitually have a lot of friends and family who say, I make the best fish ever. And it is spiced. I do my own stuff. I mean, you can do a lot better. So just to call that out, for people who've had a bad experience, the guy who says, man, I don't eat that healthy stuff, he probably had it. And it didn't have hardly salt on it. I mean, I can spice that stuff up. So I err on that
side. People say, ugh, I don't like broccoli. I'd say, well, that's your fault. You know, you go in, try saute, try it steam, try it this way, try it that, grill it, and then put this on it and that on it and this on it. And at the end of the day, and we are, because now, you know, it's a plate full of broccoli, but it is doused in healthy oil, healthy grass-finished butter sometimes, spices. And again, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm really looking forward to it.
I know. I haven't eaten today. Yeah. My wife, you talk about eggs. She, when we got married, we went out to a restaurant, actually. It was a breakfast restaurant. She's like, what are those yellow things? So, man, those are eggs. They don't have that in Texas. She says, what are you talking about? So it's scrambled eggs. Really? And it was these firm, whatever. She had never in her life experienced it. They had scrambled eggs after the bacon and whatever was made for breakfast in the grease and whatever. She knew it as this brown, slimy-ish stuff, and she didn't like meat much, so she didn't like eggs. So she tried that, and she thought eggs were great. I mean, she had never had it. Yeah, so again, all the people who grew up having certain things a certain way, man, go experiment.
We talk about this all the time because we have young, picky kids, and I was a very picky kid. Hated mustard, hated tomatoes, hated those things, and somewhere along the line, and especially late high school, college, it just, you know, intellectually saying, gosh, I'm going to eat this way because I want to be healthy. So the Dennis's question about, okay, how do I know? I suspect something's going on there. And this is where, you know, there are lab companies out there, but part of the problem is just like Dr. Google. You can go on Google and find any answer to any medical question that ever existed.
And a contradictory one.
That's right. And a diametrically opposed one.
From respectable people.
From respectable, smart, generally, like we say, authentic, trustworthy kind of people.
And then triple blind, double placebo, flapostatic relays tests and whatever.
Even if you take only doctors and let them read just the quote-unquote literature, you still get confusion.
Yeah.
There's no way a doctor or anybody can read all the journal articles that are coming out. So there's so much information now, it's noise. And that's what he's saying. And so I do want to speak to people and say, I get it.
Yeah.
It's noise. And so what do you do? Well, so we do tests. And I doubt that you would be, so to be honest with you, can lay people just go and order whatever test that they want? And I would say sometimes.
And I wish we had all the resources to tell everybody, go here. I am
But I don't recommend that people do that, because now you now you got a sheaf of labs. What are you going to do with it?
Well, but if you, but like an food allergy test, I mean, who wouldn't be served to go do that and go, man, it came back. It's eggs. Yeah, well, that's so great to know. We would love to know that.
That's right. But and gosh, I have.
Can you do that?
Yes. There are companies out there that do that.
But non-doc prescribed or ordered?
Yes. And I've had many people come in and they plop this, you know, sheaf of paperwork down and say, well, last year they told me this and another company said that. So I quit eating, you know, mustard for a year or whatever else, but I don't feel any better. But that lab said I was allergic to that, but I still think I get bad with nightshades, but it was green on the lab list. And so let me just say at the outset that food sensitivity testing is squishy.
Well, the one that you had me do does not have – it didn't have peppers on it. I don't know if it had nightshades, but it didn't have peppers on it.
Well, and had you eaten peppers recently?
I don't think they were even listed as an option.
Oh,
is that possible?
You might be right. I mean, everything can't be on every test,
right? Exactly. So even with that. I mean, so like with Dennis, though, I do. Well, again, just real quick on my own thing. You know, I had tried some of the elimination diet, but I was not getting the fact that I was just adding, you know, you can get those canned peppers. What are the other ones called? Banana peppers. And I was having those and having spicy ones with two meals a day. And I just missed it because didn't feel like I was having this food. I was having a condiment and adding it to it. So to Dennis, to look at, you know, what are the stuff that Randy just talked about, these high
those
culprits,
top eight, yeah.
What are the ones that you're most consistent with? So if you don't want to do a full out elimination diet for 90 days, but man, you eat a lot of tomatoes, salsa. That was my dad who tells his story, man. It was Mexican food and salsa.
He loved Mexican.
And
yeah,
taking that stuff out and realizing, oh my gosh, that causes him inflammation, which, you know, maybe we have some hereditary disposition to not digesting. Yeah. Not digesting tomatoes. And that is tomatoes, peppers, and whatever. And it helps so much. Is what are you doing, you know, very routinely, very consistently, maybe more than the others, and cut those out and enjoy the rest of them and see if you can figure it out.
So two things there. You just took away their comfort food.
I know.
But
the elimination diet takes away all of them.
You're right. So that's where I would very gently tell people, look, you've got to be gracious to yourself. You've also got to recognize the why behind your what. Why are you doing this? Not because food is bad or because it's wrong or because of whatever else, but because you have a higher calling, a bigger purpose. You would never say, I am on this planet to eat bell peppers, banana peppers. That is God's purpose for my existence. But I sure do enjoy them, and so to go without them is going to be really painful for it, and it will be.
And it was for a little while.
Totally.
Now I don't care.
And now you've grown, and it hurts and all that. So, and I think your dad says the same thing, that, you know, I love Mexican food, and now I just have to. But that is also, so the second thing I want to say there is, and this is to everybody, the foods that you're doing most often, you're most likely abusing them. And let's put coffee, alcohol, these kinds of daily things in there. And let's go back to dairy, gluten, corn, and soy. So if you are not paying attention to those four things, then I promise you, you're eating them two or three times a day, and you don't even know it. It's guaranteed that if you're not paying attention, you are disobeying the law of rotation. And in the past, nature enforced it because things came in seasons, and now we've conquered, quote unquote, that part of nature. And so now we're suffering from lack of rotation. And so even if somebody says, well, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and I say, yeah, but it also induces a likelier sensitivity to apples. And if you want to ruin apples, which, here's another little aside, we did do.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Red Delicious are terrible apples now. Why? Because
they're
overdid
the least
them.
Sweet. Yeah, now the sweetest ones. I saw that list recently. The sweetest ones are Fuji, Gala.
Yeah, but you're making my point. We are ruining Fuji, ruining Pink Ladies, ruining all these things because we're making them more sweet.
Oh, I know. No, that is the point.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. So Red Delicious, though, it inbred itself to this pithy, whatever, you know, thick rind, thick skin.
It's kind of mealy, too.
Well, that's what I mean by pithy.
Yeah.
It's mealy, pithy, whatever. But that's going to happen to these other ones. And now we have, I bet you can't think of more than six apple kinds. If you go back a mere 40 years, there was 100. And people had their own apple trees in their backyard.
Now we're by proxy, with any of these categories, we're just going to go to what's sweetest.
Thus driving the train towards what we said before, that we're ruining the foods, which as we eat those, we're ruining the humans in a sense, and it becomes it's the exact opposite of what we're going for. That creates unresilience, ricketiness in the system, which then Dennis comes along and says, I don't feel right. How do I test of all these variables, which one of the ladies at the front said, there's so many variables, I'm right.
I didn't,
right,
you know, what you just said, though, I didn't think about that, because we know from a workout standpoint, if I want to gain muscle, be fit, I think most people who have at least pursued some of that have heard that you're better off to mix it up. Don't do the exact same exercise. Mix it up.
Cross training.
But food, man, even in that realm, man, we want to find it. I'm trying to gain muscle. I'm going to eat chicken, rice, and broccoli. Every meal.
So even the healthier people are like, Doc, I eat avocado every day. I eat coconut oil. I eat whatever else. I'm like, okay, how much bok choy do you eat?
And it's a pain in the butt. Because when I go along, sometimes when I go along the produce aisle, I think, oh, man, I don't want to try all that crap. Can I just – I like snap peas and broccoli and cauliflower. Yeah.
So what that does is – we said this the other day in terms of channels in your brain, right? Uh-huh. It creates lack of resiliency.
Resilience, I love, is the best word.
Different,
and I want to be resilient.
And well, that we all say we want to, but we don't want to do the work of becoming resilient.
Damn because straight.
That equals challenge.
Yeah,
you know, what's a tree with no wind? Well, it'll fall down with the next breath.
Yeah, or if you support it, if you go support it, it gets.
That's right. If you support a tree, it needs that stress and strain. Okay, well, nutritionally, you need variety, and. Yes. And so when we did this, when my wife and I, when we said, all right, there it is, you guys, same thing. I remember her saying for 6 months, it was 3-hour grocery store trips to read every label. Yes. And when that lady looked at me and said, so you mean to tell me that I got to go make some food? Yes. And you know what that does for me right now? Because we try not to have these prepackaged things around that if I walk in, if I need a snack, it's an apple, it's nuts, carrots. Yeah. And over half the time I'm like, ugh, just keep walking.
Oh, I see the boys do that a lot. They'll come, look at the fridge, and then just walk away.
Fine. But my son wants to go sneak into the closet over there and get another bar. And
a granola bar, yeah.
And I have to tell him, no, there's plenty. Broccoli, carrot, you can have all of that you want if you're hungry. Yeah. And he'll go, meh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, exactly. See ya.
Oh gosh. Okay. I got one more for us though. All right. We're going to have to do this another show on questions because we aren't through that many, but we're doing justice. This is one you're going to like. You ready? Autumn. She asks, what is a healthy amount of screen time to log each day? What kind of damage is being done by staring at your phone computer screen all day? If I knew and understood the damage, maybe it would motivate me to limit it. Man, I'm so grateful she brought that up because that is very seldom on the health and wellness list. And yet catastrophically growing. Lead off with the, your IFM meeting in the iPhone setting.
Yeah. So
I think we've mentioned it once, but it's just to kind of highlight the reality that's out there that we're ignorant to.
Well, so in the same vein of what we just said, of we messed up the cows and we messed up the industrialization system and we messed up that, and now we're running pell mell into, you know, 3G, 4G, 5G, and everything is Wi-Fi'd, and you know, 2.5 hertz and 5 hertz and giga this and tera that. With the idea that, okay, somebody out there is protecting us, and the government says, studies show that this doesn't provide harm, and GRAS, generally regarded as safe, GRAS is what happens in the FDA on the food side of things, or, you know, toys, leaded paint, and you know, not for children under 3 years of age, all that stuff. So we think somebody's protecting us, and that is a fallacy. So of the new chemicals going into the system, production system, you know, only a few are actually tested. So, and there's, since World War II, this was a stat, you know, it changes all the time, 85,000 new FDA-approved chemicals to go out into the marketplace. And, of course, many of those are industrial or whatever else they might. But we all know, oh, my gosh, there's something about that that's not quite right. And at the same time, I use fuel. I drive a car. I brush my teeth with something. And so we imbibe. We do these kind of things. So on the screen time, And even, and so I'm going to include in that the electronics, the EMF, the Wi-Fi, those kind of things. What,
well, as so, we're sitting here on video, some people will be watching video, and we got two monitors.
Well, and we got Wi-Fi, and now we got a renter who has their Wi-Fi, and downstairs has their Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Right? So we're really not.
And it's just not, it doesn't compute because, I mean, I'm looking at this natural wood door here. If I take a nice piece of natural aspen wood and carry it around and have exposure to it, probably going to be okay. Probably not. This is we think about it as some materials that come from the earth, but man, this is a living electronic wave. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it, but I mean, it's
sure.
Stuff is emanating from it.
Stuff is emanating from it. And we are devoiding ourselves from the electronic field of the earth. When was the last time your feet were barefoot on the earth? So in Colorado, almost never, right? Because rocks and it hurts. Yeah, you're more of a barefoot guy.
I'm the weird guy. Yeah,
but still, you're barefoot on your house and then your deck, and hardly ever on the actual ground.
Well, outside, I was outside a bunch yesterday, barefoot. But yeah, then when the snow hits, I'm not generally out in the snow.
Right, so maybe 3-4 months feet. A year you get.
Yeah,
and we're in buildings, and now these buildings have their own electrical system and that kind of thing. So, as we always do, we're making this more complex than it really is. But on your iPhone.
And, here, I'll go. So, yeah, for people, I don't know how it works on the other phone.
Well, I don't know. I got to look at it. So, I think.
I know it. I just found it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, if you go to settings and then hit general, scroll down, it says legal and regulatory. Click on that. And then up at the top, the fourth thing down, RF exposure. What is that?
Radio frequency.
What am I looking for? Well, to reduce exposure to RF energy, use a hands-free option such as built-in speakerphone, the supplied headphones, or other similar accessories. I mean, it gives this advice on, and I know when you were at the thing. Oh, here it is.
And it recommends
when warned during iPhone radios are set to their highest transmission levels and placed in positions that simulate uses against the head with no separation, and when worn or carried against the torso of the body with 5 millimeter separation.
Right, which is way bigger than your jeans pocket.
They're basically saying they're warning you against, so the iPhone itself is warning you against having this in your breast pocket, your bra, your jeans pocket.
Skinny jeans pocket.
Where else do people keep it? I don't know.
Pocket.
It mainly says don't keep it on you. I mean, I guess if you got some little on your belt.
Right. For the first time I saw a lady at the grocery store, she stuck her phone in her bra. I'm like, I really didn't know that people did that. And by the way, there's no doubt. There's an increase in that kind of cancer. It's there. So, you know, that is not debatable.
You said that in breast and then
butt cheek cancer.
Right. But it wasn't even... Yeah. Weren't there some things that talked about even on the right? Most people are right-handed. They put it in their right side.
I don't know about that, but never before. Well,
sounds good.
I'm
going to say it's true because I saw it on the internet.
There you go.
Okay.
But even beyond the internet, the studies of there's now butt cheek cancer that is phone related. So now, granted, we're not all walking around. It's not like the level of smoking and stuff like that, but it is. It's another input into the body. So that's the RF exposure of your phone. And so I don't carry it in my pocket ever. So I'm like even walking to work today, I have it in my phone in my hand. And if you're going to use an ear thing, a wired one versus the wireless is less exposure of these kinds of radio frequencies. So the simpler you can be, the better down that kind of a pathway. And it's very, very hard for people to say, well, what's going to happen to me if I do this? Like, what am I looking for? Headache, fatigue, my blurry vision or whatever else? And it's never that simple. And you know,
it'd be like saying, where is it going to show up if I have a little packet of M&Ms every
day? That's right.
Is
this going to hurt my elbow, my nose, my eyes, my hair, my acne, my PMS, my whatever? Or flip it around. And I would say to everybody out there, did you drink some water this morning? Did it work?
Where did it work?
What did that do?
Did it help your big toe?
Did it help? And so you can't. So because you can't answer that question,
right,
you can't ask this other question with an expectation of a response. So now I think the spirit of her question is more, how much TV should I watch, computer time should I watch, phone time?
Well, can we separate that out? I mean, because we all grew up with TV. So very few people listening did not have a TV that was sitting over here 5-10 feet away. And most people's even TVs today are still sitting there. I mean, from a distance standpoint, for whatever that counts, is different than this, again, hockey stick of a change of our world where we went to having screens right in our faces. I mean, I sit most of my days. I do way more than you do because I'm writing generally, and I'm within 2.5 feet of two screens.
Yeah.
All the monitors. And then, you know, somebody, kid calls me, I'm looking at my phone.
In fact, there are five screens in this room.
Yes, there are. Yeah, within 4 feet.
Yeah,
four screens and Wi-Fi and whatever. So how much?
We're being exposed. So this is a toughie. And, you know, the whole weirdness with China and TikTok and the telecom and the 5G. And I honestly don't get into all that because it's a real exposure. But in my own family, so what we do, and I think you guys do too, is the difference in your 1980s TV is they're all smart TVs, and unless you unplug, turn off the electricity, it's emanating another wavelength out, and everybody's got smart TVs now in multiple rooms.
Well, I don't.
Except for you.
This ours is won't break yet. So as soon as we can, or as soon as it breaks, I'll get one. But you brought that to me. So we turn most nights the Wi-Fi off.
Yeah, it's just good.
You and I had the timer things, but mine broke. And the stupid thing wouldn't work. But you can get timers to cut yours off.
Streetlight timer, yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. You can get digital fancy ones now. But we just lit. I said, hey, I did it last night. Hey, man, you guys are going to bed. Just whoever's up, let's just turn the internet off. They go and flip the switch. And this morning I woke up, it was off. So all night long. And we leave our phones. That's the rule.
Phones out of the bedroom. Down, yeah. So that, to answer her question, I'd say the basics, turn your Wi-Fi off at night. Turn your phone off. But if you have to have it or whatever else, then airplane mode for alarm. But it's better to be out of your room. In fact, I would get all of your electronics out of your room. Like, I wake up to a watch alarm clock, and there's nothing else in there. So we have a fan.
Yeah.
You know, but no light is good. And that also lets us then say, okay, well, during the day I'm exposed, but in the evening time I want to be unexposed during sleep, during recovery, during that kind of thing. So rather than, and that's where I don't, there's a lot of docs out there that get all crazy about this stuff. And I'm like, man, you're way more better off spending time and money and effort on your nutrition, your relationships, your exercise. But here's in the screen time area, I think if you turn it off at night while you're sleeping and resting, that's valuable.
Okay,
do that.
If I could go to healthy routines from the people that I have on shows, a majority of that, I'm just sharing, this isn't data science, but I'm just sharing, these are what these people have found promotes health in their life. A lot of them say, I do not look at a phone, a screen, at anything for the first, whatever, you name
morning,
it, 30 minutes, hour. I've got something, you know, for 3 hours. I don't look at email. I don't check anything. I stay away from those.
Do you look at your phone in the morning?
I usually do. Cause I use my little sleep app and I'll see what's happening. But then I don't get into email. So then I go have my quiet, you know, devotion time and whatever, and don't use it there. But they're using it. But yeah, the reality of, I mean, just think about, where can you limit it? Can you go to the bathroom without your phone? Take a book. We used to have magazines in the bathroom.
Well, hang on a minute.
I'm not saying I don't do it. I'm just saying there's an option.
If your transit time is that slow, then there's another problem.
Oh, that's true too. That is true too. Yeah, but okay, I admittedly.
Three minutes.
Well, sometimes the business is done, but I just use it. Well,
I know. Now you're sitting there. Now you're going to get hemorrhoids.
That's when I play Scrabble. It's really good. I get to concentrate for a second.
Hemorrhoids would be a really good scratch.
Well, here's, and I thought you were going to say something about it. You said something that I thought you were going to get into it, but my thought is, what are you not doing when you're doing screen time? So I just did this with the kids not long ago and said, look, because we give them a lot of the amount of time on screens. And to me, what that also means is it's entertainment. It's idle entertainment. They are not being creative for the most part. And I know everybody's going to go, well, that game is creative. Minecraft is creative. Okay, it's one type of creativity. So what are they not doing? They're not outside. They're not exercising or whatever during that time that we give them. And generally, they'll have their time. And then in the evening, as a family, of course, what do they want to do? Watch a show. That's screen time as well. And then when we have the special times on Saturdays or whatever, where they get extra time, and adding that up and then saying, okay, here are the cumulative hours. Here are the hours you're even awake during the day. What percentage of your life is being spent with entertainment. Now, granted, when you and I, you know, you're looking at a patient chart, I'm writing a manuscript, it's our work, but it's still screen time that's happening. But if we, even if we look at just the entertainment, I do segment that out. What is the entertainment screen time? The video games, social media, movies, TV, just idle time. And we know that, I think culturally, that the average person is like 4 hours now, American at least, on a TV, which doesn't always include the other things. And look, how much idle time do we have? That's what gets me.
4 hours?
Yeah, it's what, you know, it's the internet. I don't know. Why? Does that seem like a lot?
No, it seems like screen time? Like
no,
all
no,
screens?
No, TV. Oh. So like a show, whatever.
So Netflix and all
that. So it doesn't include the other stuff. Oh, yeah, so it's more than, but to think about that and to think, I mean, how much of your day is spent on idle entertainment, which again, social media, TV, movies, games, like I just said, Scrabble, playing on that. You know, what are you using it for? How much? And what are you not doing that you would have 50 years ago? You would have gone for a walk, sat on the porch,
talked
because there was a finite amount of TV shows, and right now there's nothing good on. So you had to go read a book. You had to go all these things. You do something creative, a hobby.
In the nature of her question, I think when we're talking about overall health, you know, I think she was thinking more about, you know, blue light and all that kind of stuff. But I know I'm coming back to you to say, in the overall health, that's the major deficiency. It's not you're going to fry your brain with blue light. It's you're not looking your wife in the eye. You're not looking your kids in the eye.
And when that's why I bring it up, because that's my soapbox with the kids when we get into this and go, guys, ultimately, it's not that the amount of time you're spending on the screen with entertainment that bothers me. It's that, did you today exercise? Did that's you spend outside, time outside? Did you create something?
I've got a screen-tendy person.
I have more than one.
So then when I clamp down and say, you know, it feels like such a... We've talked about this before in the past. Let me go back to her.
It's culture. It'd be like us not having a car. Of course you have a car. You have to have a car.
Right.
And to not do screen. I mean, it's just, it's life.
I look forward to the time when I don't have to drive kids to school because I like walking back and forth.
Yeah.
Yours is a little too far.
Well, I had a time back when we were just totally homeschooling where I rode my bike. I had my office just a couple blocks down. I rode my bike down or ran down, but now I don't because...
You got stuff to do all day long. Yeah.
You either got to pick a kid up, you got to get groceries. And
yeah, that's where I am. And I'm like, if I'm without a car, I'm without that tool. But anyway, I'm missing out on that daily walk, you know, 20 minutes here and back and whatever. It's think time, walk time, whatever.
Well, you've been doing that.
In the summertime, I did it today, mostly because the car's in the shop.
Oh.
But in all fairness, so I am missing out on that because of the presence of the car. It's just easier, quicker, and I just default to that. And so many people do, and my son defaults to a screen. He's sitting there, he's going to have a conversation with me, but even just to sit down, he gets the thing out of his pocket and boom, there it is, right between us. And I say, you know, it's not screen time or whatever else. And it's like, you know, so I think the unhealthiness of our culture there is the biggest part of screen time. But what about blue light? What about those kinds of things? Because I think she's asking about that too.
Yeah.
Yes, it's there. And if you want to go buy your $40 glasses and, you know, it's kind of the new cool thing. You look pretty cool.
I did get them after somebody talked about it for the umpteenth time. So I went and bought, it's like the nicest ones I can find. They're like $15 on Amazon.
And even, you know,
Amazon.
The iPod, I things have night vision.
The new, I think the newer
screens have that.
Yeah.
Our new TV had that too. It sort of made everything yellow a little bit.
Yeah.
So is it worth it to have your screen be all yellowy and stuff like that, or is it just?
Well, I do. So if I'm sitting here for 6 hours today, I have my glasses on, and I'm trying. And then we have the time of getting outside, just get my eyes to readjust.
I don't use sunglasses.
I don't either,
because
I just don't like them. But
I don't. Yeah, it's just I don't like them, and I don't. And you need light.
Well, I was going to say, is there the contrast of do you have natural light? So you and I both literally have our, I can't see it, they can't see it on the video, but literally have our computers in front of a window. So it's a quick, you know, look up and you're looking out the window. I feel better about it. Maybe it's placebo, but.
Well, there again, the overall reliance dependence we have on the screens is the main issue. Is there medical issues? Like, can we answer her with an hour of time? We can't answer that. because of the variables.
When it feels, I mean, how many people like me without the screen, I will have to, well, I guess I get a typewriter, but change my livelihood. I mean, our jobs are on screens. How can we?
It's never going away. So that's why
I would say, what can we do to minimize? Just like with food, we can get it all, but you're better off to cycle it. You're going to have to manufacture or artificially do that. So can you have, I mean, I think having, well, you're the doc, but don't you see things of, you know, take a break, give your eyes a break away, go and, you know, 20 minutes off the screen, use the filtering.
I mean, for a long time, filtering glasses. Of use the filtering glasses, give your eyes a break, get off the screens as much as you can. And to answer prescriptively to somebody, like if somebody said, you know, medically, should I stop doing Facebook? I mean, would I say yes, no, or 15 minutes or whatever?
Like my view, at least, of milk, is probably not doing a body good.
It's probably not.
What's it adding in?
Well, a very personal example here is we don't watch news. We don't watch TV. And I don't Facebook. I don't check the news every day. So when the race riots first happened, I didn't know for like a week. I just didn't know. And then we did a family gathering and they're talking about it. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't even know. So I felt stupid. And then I was thinking about that. And was it bad that I didn't know current events? Because that's, you know, you kind of need to know what's going on in the world. Or was it good that I was not stressed out about
current events? Well, was it bad that you didn't find out instantaneously? So to your question, I think, does it matter that you don't know it instantaneously? But yeah, but that, and I don't want to miss though, just because it gives me the opportunity to say, you know, this is what I'm doing with the kids and thinking about for myself, is before I am imbibing on whatever screen time, have I done X?
The other things.
Have I done the other things? If I've done those, and I think that's a great question for us all to do, is what's it keeping us from? Have you read a book? Have you done something to better yourself? What are you doing for the growth, personal development, wellness in your life, that this is, I think, the primary thief of.
There you go. Yeah, it's stealing away our other opportunities. I don't know if you guys do this. One of the things that I really like that we have done that seems to is we'll tell the kids, okay, look, you are not entitled to it every day.
Yeah, yeah.
You must have, you're entitled to shelter, food, love. That's about it.
Chores. Clean your
chores. You're entitled to chores too. So, but if we put a time limit on it, then they sort of fiddle faddle and this and that and the other until they can play. Now I can play.
Yeah.
And so we're like, all right, we're working on this. But one of the things that, and you can tell when they're in that mood, but we have said, hey, you need to ask, and generally it's mom, what can I do for you? And that's a big one. What can I do for somebody else?
Yeah.
Can I help you? To just
that's awesome.
It hurts them to ask. That hurts anybody to ask, right? How can I serve you? And so we're coming into a season where we're really going to emphasize that one and say, look.
That's awesome.
You have approached me. Dad, can I? And in my older one, I'm like, son, about, I don't know, 100 times I have said, if you came to me and said, Dad, I did this, I did that. I did my chores, I did this. I asked mom, I did that. Can I play? I would love to say, why don't you play extra? Thank you. Yeah. And it just doesn't happen all that often. So in the same way, to yourself, self, I would like to have a donut. I would like to check out some Facebook. Have I done my devotions? Have I gotten 8 hours of sleep last night? Have I done my exercise? Have I done whatever else? And right now we're so used to that flip out that phone that at a red light, at a whatever.
Immediate gratification.
Immediate thought. Have you memorized a verse? Have you thought about what you're going to do for your wife tonight? Have you written her a note, a text, or whatever? Before you just kind of flip, there's 100, 30-second things you can do before you screen another. And then you get inundated with, oh my gosh, Beirut happened, and what am I going to do about that?
Yeah. And this is kind of like the triggers that you put out there. Back to Ben Hardy's, willpower doesn't work. Set up a life and set up these routines. I've always had in my life. I can't really take a shower unless I've exercised. Well, you can't let that go on too long. And sometimes it's motivated. I'm just going to go do something for 20 minutes and get a sweat on so I can justify a shower. But that's great, you know, to set up your little triggers of I can't do X. A famous quote, not many people are even old enough listen to this to know, Jack LaLanne. He was one of the biggest names in fitness and health and wellness way back when. And he was infamous in my world, at least, for a quote. Somebody asked him, is it okay sometimes to skip a day of exercise? He said, well, yeah. And on that day, don't eat. And his motive was, most people are going to go, I'd rather exercise than eat. And that was his point, is, you know, every day, pretty much.
We joke around, you know, and probably talking about Hardy, we say, well, people say, well, gosh, I forgot to XYZ. And I meant to, but I didn't. And I was like, well, when was the last time you forgot to put your undies on?
Exactly. Absolutely.
The last time. Now you
forgot to eat.
When was the last time you wore the wrong pair of shoes?
Well, I've done that. Yeah, well, that happened.
But that's a rarity, right? That's rarity. We don't typically put on.
No, I had an assistant tell me that years ago when they're trying to get me to be consistent with podcasts when I was first doing it. Yeah. So people want consistency. I know, Kevin, you don't like schedules and, you know, confines, but do you have routines? I said, what do you mean? So do you ever miss your coffee? Nope. Do you ever miss brushing? Nope. Do you ever miss? Nope. Can you just make a routine that you never miss, you know, every Tuesday record show? Okay.
One guy said it this way, and I think, in fact, I'll give credit to Charlie Webb, it'll be a good place to end, is if it's important, it's on your schedule.
Yeah.
If your wife's important, it's on your schedule. And I'm so neglectful in some of those kind of things where other things are on my schedule and things that ought to be. And so everybody's going to have an imperfect schedule. And that's where I think, like, yes, it's nutrition, food, that's on our schedule. We put time into doing that. And
cooking.
And so we build around that. And so that's the recommendation for somebody on the screen time, is you happen to your screens. That's a Kevin Miller quote.
Good anchor. Well, again, just great info. Thank you all who shared to make this such a rich show. Rolling with this Q&A, and we hit on topics like diet and exercise balance, meaning should you go all out and suffer like David Goggins in every workout? Losing your momentum in your progress, which we all do. We discussed that. Faith in achieving what you set out to do. Nervous eating. And we end with the question of how to kick the sugar habit. Again, just stellar, stellar questions. And I think we did credit to the responses. Till then, folks, here's to you and getting you as fully functioning as possible. I hope you found some helpful info and hope that in this Q&A session for our Functional Friday episode, you have some, just hope and inspiration for some of the issues that you're dealing with. In the next Functional Friday episode, we're going to keep on rolling with this Q&A and hit on topics such as diet and exercise balance. Should you always go all out and suffer? Losing your momentum in your health and wellness progress. Faith in achieving what you set out to do. Nervous eating. And we end with how to kick the sugar habit, which is highly relevant as I've just gone pretty much keto for an indefinite amount of time, doing no sugar, which for me means no wine and no dark chocolate covered almonds. I'll miss them, but I'm really keen to get lean for summer adventuring. Again, you're welcome to connect with Dr. Randy James and his team at truelifemedicine.com or email them at info@truelifemedicine.com. If you come on as a patient, let me know. We'll do a coffee or lunch if you come see them here in Colorado, as my studio is in the True Life Medicine offices. Hey, thank you for choosing to tune in to this self-helpful podcast. We always appreciate a review, but we appreciate most you just keeping the conversation going. Talk about what you learn here with someone else so you both benefit even more. I sincerely hope I've helped you help yourself so that you can help others.